Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you aboard. We're going to get right into our message. We are in the series of Fallen Angels. This will be part two of the series that we've done on Fallen Angels. And we'd like to discuss the flood in Genesis 6 that involves the fallen angels. This is September the 19th, moving right along in time. Remember now, we're going to be in the festival, Tabernacles, and we will begin on the 27th day of September. That'll be the full moon. We will start our feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, and we'll continue for 8 glorious days in Andrews, North Carolina. If you'd like to attend, you just ask for information. You can call Dr. Jack at 828-321-1010. That's 828-321-1010. Or you can call Pastor Buddy, and I'll be giving you my telephone number at the end of the message, hopefully. Now, get your Bibles, call a friend. Tell them at the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy's on there. We think, very valuable information. You know, the Bible said to search the Scriptures for wherein you think. Well, that holds true in the area of the flood. I want to give you some information that may help you. If you're taking notes, you'll need a pen and a paper throughout the message, because we're going to give you words to study. And we're going to show you that the King James Bible, in some places, is very vague on the meaning of the word. Matter of fact, when the English version is produced, the value of the translation has decreased dramatically by the time we get through the Hebrew and the Greek and over to the English. Sometimes we apply an English word that doesn't really mean what the Hebrew or the Greek, in some cases, really means. We're going to give you a, for instance, beginning in the first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Well, we know that everything that God does, it's great and it's good. The Bible says that it was perfect and it was so beautiful in His creation that the morning stars, the angels, the sons of Yah, Revelations 1:20 and Job 38:7, that they actually sang for joy, shouted for joy. Well, that doesn't sound like a dark, void, chaotic beginning of creation, does it? Well, the Bible says, the next verse, now listen to this. It says in our Bible that this perfect earth was destroyed by a terrible catastrophe. Genesis 1 and 2 reveals, and the earth was without form and void. Now, so it seems like that we could say that the earth in the beginning was created in that fashion. It was created without form and void. Now, the original word which the King James translators translated was, in verse 2 should have been translated properly, became. The earth was not void and without form when he created. It was created perfect, and the angel shouted for joy. The heavens rejoiced. But the word became rather than was. So take out the word was, write a notation. I'm going to give you word changes and interchangeables of the Strong's to show you that the word that the King James English Bible uses was, in other words, it was past tense created that way rather than future tense become or became, which is the proper word. Now that's interesting because I'll give you some, just let me give you an example here in the 19th chapter of the book of Genesis. This is where Lot's wife looked back from behind Lot. She was following, and she looked back. And the Bible says that she became a pillar of salt. Now, it's the same word. If you look at your Strong's, look the Strong's word up there, which is Hayah. Is a better pronunciation of that. And that word is identical to the word that was mistranslated. Notice now, God warned Lot and his wife not to look behind as they escaped from the burning city of Sodom. And as Lot's wife disobeyed this command and looked back longing for something back there that she wanted or left or admired about the wicked city of Sodom, she became a pillar of salt, meaning that she was translated into a pillar of salt. She wasn't a pillar of salt, but it's the same word in Genesis 1 and 2. The same interchangeable word applies in both cases. It's mistranslated in one instance and properly translated in another. Now, why? Because it was obvious here that the word was a pillar of salt would have been the way she's created. But she was created just like you and I was. She wasn't a pillar of salt. She became a pillar of salt. The earth was created perfect, but became dark and void through the first world that perished. Now, the pre-Adamic world. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, what do you mean by pre-Adamic? Well, that means prior to Genesis 1 and 1. There was a fall prior to Adam. You see, in Genesis 1 and 26, it doesn't use the word for Adam to be fruitful and to multiply upon the earth. No, that's not the word there in the Hebrew. The word there is properly translated was to replace, or in this case, the English word replenish means to resupply that which existed before or was. So then we have a lot of misunderstanding, even about the flood. We're going to get into that and talk about it. Was the flood worldwide? Did the Bible say that the flood covered the whole earth? Does the word earth imply that all of the earth, the sphere that we've got here, was it covered with about 25 feet of water over the highest mountain chain, which would, at this point, would be over 6 miles high? The mountain chain of the Himalayas is around 30,000. That's almost six. And if the boat, and the Bible says that it was 15 cubits above the mountain chain, then that would have put it up over 6 mile deep at its highest point to cover the whole earth. But there's an interesting scripture. I want to read it to you, that goes into the Bible, and we covered this in our Fallen Angel series that we have done on internet connection. We have covered it, and we are now doing part two of that coverage about the flood here in the Bible. We're going to go to Peter. Actually, we're going to go to 2 Peter. Follow me there, if you will, to 2 Peter. And we're going to read verse 5 of chapter 3. Now, pay close attention to the word. For this, talking about since the fathers had fell asleep, they said, where's the promise of his coming? Remember, the Father promised that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And except these days be shortened, they won't be any flesh saved. Well, that's what happened in the days of Noah. But did all flesh perish? Well, if it's going to be like it is in the coming of the Son of Man, the second return, remember, when he comes back, not all flesh is going to be destroyed, because it's going to be as it was in the days of Noah, but only a specific family was ready to be extinguished. The sons of Adam through Noah. The other races in the earth had thrived, survived, and was doing quite well. Even in the flood, they survived because Noah and his sons, when they landed, they were commanded not to mix with any inhabitants that was in the land. Where did they come from? They said, oh, they came from Noah because Noah replenished and started the earth family, and we've all come from Noah. Well, if you believe that, you believe in evolution, and you defy all the laws of logic, Mother Nature, and biological, genetic, scientific evidence. Because Noah, being of one race and one blood, and his sons of one race and one blood, they're all same bloodline, could have not have produced all of these breeds or races that we have in here, unless you believe in evolution and that the original Adam man from Noah became black or yellow or whatever color or whatever race or whatever mix or whatever blood, and we have all this from one bloodline. Not so. Matter of fact, the Cain race that was prior to the flood of Genesis 6. Remember, from Genesis 3 came the race of Cain. And I've explained to you in the Fallen Angel series how that these races were in the earth originally created and brought forth by the Eternal One, Yahweh. So then, Cain's race had to survive. For Cain to have a prodigy this side of the flood, if all living flesh died with exception, though, in his bloodline, then Cain would have surely vanished from the earth, but he didn't. Cain's bloodline survived the flood. If Cain survived, other races survived, and they did survive, because the Bible does not say that the flood covered the whole earth. You just think it says that, if you believe the English translation, like you've read, and we're going to get into that. Now look at this. And remember, the word was in Genesis 1 and 2 is incorrectly translated. The correct word should become or became. It became after it was created in a perfect condition, like Yahweh. Remember, this is the issue of which came first, the light or darkness. Remember, darkness was over the face of the deep and this pre-Adamite creation. Well, Yahweh couldn't have created that because Yahweh is light. And light and darkness has no fellowship. It was someone else that brought the fall before Adam, and Adam came here to replace whatever fell out of favor or existence. And the Bible said there's nothing new under the sun, for what is to be has already been. It was before pre-Adam. And then after Adam, there was a destruction in the first world before Adam, the introductory man of Genesis 1. Before that time period, ladies and gentlemen, there was a world that existed that became dark and poor. It became, it wasn't was, like the pillar of salt analogy that I gave you. Lot's wife was not a pillar of salt, or she was not a pillar of salt. She became. There was a transition of time, and when she looked back, an instant flash, out of the nuclear strike. The fusion actually melted her down, and it's a medium that she just became a composite, a little pile of mineral composite of salt. Laying on the plains of Sodom. Now, the Bible also says that all the people perished. Lot's daughter said, there is not a man upon the earth to replenish our seed. But there was. They used their father. There was plenty of people we know living outside of Sodom. They didn't perish. It was only the people in Sodom that perished as a result of this nuclear, I believe, hydrogen strike that the angels detonated over this city, or in the city, as they got out. And they warned Lot to flee and to get out quickly and not look back. Or, in other words, do not turn your face on this great flash that's coming behind you. Well, Lot's wife obviously left something down there to be desired. By turning around, she became not was a pillar of salt, she became a pillar of salt. And the same thing applies in Genesis 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, as it says, and the earth was without form and void. It didn't say was, it said became without a form and void, without a spiritual government. Satan and his fallen angels were here prior to Genesis 1 and 1. And an earth that existed was here also, and it was inhabited by the same people, the sons of Yah, and Adam was a replenisher, something to replace something that was, that became perished or void. And so the same thing applies with the flood. Now, now, if she became a pillar of salt, as it says in verse 26 of 19, it says she was, she became that same word, use that same word. And now let me turn back there to Genesis, where we were at, and let me give you, in reference, and you're keeping notes, and I hope you are, let's look at the word was. That's in verse 2. It is actually the fourth word in verse 2 of your English. I'm reading out of King James, by the way. And the earth was. That is Strong's number, 1961. And there is no definition for was in Strong's number, 1961. The definition is there, is became. It became void. So the correct rendering, and the earth became void of form and darkness, not light. See, God is light. If God had been back there, it would have been light. For God is light. And light and darkness, as I said, has no fellowship. But see, by this time, the dark ones, the fallen ones, the ones that we're talking about, the same applies as it says, because if you know that, well, in like manner, the earth wasn't originally created a waste and in confusion, because that's what the word means, confusion. The correct translation of Genesis 1 and 2 from the original inspired Hebrew makes it clear. The earth became without form and void. And this truth is further noted in Genesis 1 and 2 that the English without form was translated from the original Hebrew word tohu, which means desolation or confusion, and God is not the author of confusion. Someone else became the author of confusion. What fellowship has light with darkness? None. There had to be a separation. And this separation was in the world prior to. Now, I have no scriptural evidence prior to 1 and 1, of course. But we take the evidence of the wording of 1 and 2 and prove that there's something that existed before even Adam, or Adam's seed, or Adam's kind is a better word. That Adam was brought to this planet before the ever any trees growing in the earth, if you look at Genesis 2 and 1, which is another interesting aspect of Revelation here. Before anything grew in the earth and here, and the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them, they were finished perfect with the host. That's the angels that shouted for joy when the earth was created. When it came into being, the mighty ones, the angelic host, those that are a little higher than man, they are actually an intercessory helpmeet, if you will. Just like the woman is a helpmeet for man, angels are a helpmeet for man, were intended to be, to assist, to watch over, to direct, and in some instances, to correct. And we only had to be corrected when we fell from our steadfastness, or sin or darkness came in, and now we have to struggle with light and darkness. Choose this day who you'll serve. Well, isn't it strange that in Isaiah 45:18, that Isaiah said he, the Eternal One, Yahweh, created it, the earth, not in vain. To who in Hebrew, that is, not in chaos and confusion, it became that way. And the word, proper word in your translation is Strong's number 1961. Put it in there. Now read it. It became void and dark through the angelic host who began to tamper with the world before Adam and the world after Adam. And remember, after Adam, the second advent of destruction for the earth was pronounced in Genesis 6. It perished with a flood, but did all the earth perish? Was all of the earth covered? Is that the word that is used in relationship to what the Bible says? Well, basically, no. I'm sorry. It was not a worldwide flood because the Bible does not say that it was. But many Christians believe that the face of it, and when we examine the Bible and see if the Bible really says what these literalists and fundamentalists and creationists claim that it says about a worldwide flood, it's not that. There's been word changes. Again, just like we've noted the word change in Genesis 1 and 1 and 1 and 2. Was rather than became. If it would have wrote in or became, then you would have known that there was a series of evolutionary processes or time evolvement that came into being between the time it was created perfect and the time that it was polluted, or the time it got dark, or the time that the angels fell, and it caused a pre-Adam fall of those that existed before Adam. Ladies and gentlemen, I hate to astound you, but the earth is billions of years old. And man, prior to, well, if you look at the genealogy downline from the Bible standpoint, we are about 6,000 years out from Adam. But if you look in the reality of scriptures, one day with Yahweh is 1,000 years, and he told Adam, he said, the day that you do this, you shall surely die in that day, and he died 930 years later, or thereabouts. So it's true if you count one day to be 1,000 years. So now, are we 6,000 years, or 600,000 years, or 6 million years, which or whatever. We just don't really know, and science can verify the fact that the earth is literally billions of years old. And that they have, I hate to say this in the face of the Bible, because the Bible doesn't prove the Bible wrong. I believe it proves the Bible right when you rightly divide it. The Bible can't be proven wrong if you use the proper division factors. We prove it wrong when we add or take from the words that is should have been there and it's not there, and use a lesser form or a devalued word Bible, something like the English Bible, very, very devalued in word power. Words have power. The word not that I've explained to you in the Fallen Angel series of Genesis chapter 3, N-O-T, doesn't have a lot of weight to it until you turn it around in English and spell it backwards. And then it gets pretty heavy. N-O-T becomes T-O-N. That's pretty heavy. So then you've got to know what the word says. From reading Genesis account of the flood, the English translation, it would seem that the worldwide flood is in the scope of the passages involved strictly and literally, and all these that tell us that life was to be destroyed from the face of the earth. Genesis 7:12. The waters were on the face of the whole earth. Genesis 8:9, and so on and so forth. And we get this feeling by reading this version that, yep, that's, see there? It's the, he covered the whole earth. Well, it just ain't that way. It just ain't that way. And the reason it's not that way is because the word earth used in the passages of Genesis is the Hebrew word Eretz. E-R-E-T-S. Strong's Old Testament Hebrew number 776. It does not actually carry any connotation of a global, spherical, or planet in its translation. While it has been translated as earth many times, it is also translated as country. Same word. 140 times in the Bible. Well, listen to this. 1,500 times approximately in the Bible, it's translated land. So the flood covered the land, or Eretz, not the whole earth. That word has been added to imply that the flood was literally worldwide, and we had trillion, billion, zillion, hundred trillions, whatever, gallons of water upon the face of the earth. It covered the earth over the 30,000 foot range, and it went up over the mountain peaks. Who knows, that could have been a higher mountain chain at the time, because Mount Everest, like I said, is approximately 30,000 feet high, and that's almost 6 miles. That's way up there, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, it is up there. If you don't believe it, you climb up there and take a peep at God's creation. You'll see that this is a pretty good high mountain range, and the water went up 15 cubits above that point. It would take a lot to float the ark. Was it talking about a specific, like, country, as it says here translated? 140 times? It should have been translated, earth. But it wasn't. It was translated proper. Country or land, not the whole earth, as it's mistranslated in the 8th chapter of the book of Genesis. It's translated ground. The water was up on the ground 96 times. And the various references to Eretz, it can be shown it is most often used to infer a limited land area rather than the entire planet, which the Bible does not say it was the entire planet, but we have the assumption through the word change or the devaluation of the word change that the earth covered the whole earth. Now I'm going to read you a scripture of what Peter says again. And remember now, the Strong's number for that is 1961, read that, became, and before I leave there, I want to leave that emphasis, that if you're doing your Bible study, family only, not all the other races, they remained constant. Remember the Bible says that as it was in the days of Noah, and except those days be short, and there will be no flesh saved. Well, everybody's thinking that there's going to be a nuclear war, and God is going to destroy it by fire, and we're going to literally all burn up. Well, the Bible says when he comes back, people are going to be eating, drinking, and being merry. Who's that? Can't have it both ways, your Elijah. They can't be eating and drinking and being merry, and then if these days ain't shortened, all flesh is going to be destroyed, as it was in the days of Noah. So the word change between the two compares to the wickedness of man as it was in Genesis 6. And the only people that he was concerned with is the people he wrote about in Genesis chapter 3 from Genesis 1:26, which was a replenishment, replacement for the sons of Yah, who Adam was. Adam was the son of Yahweh. I can prove it in the Bible. Matthew chapter 1 and the book of Luke, that these were descendant bloodlines of Yahweh. And that Yahweh was particularly only concerned about his sheep, his star seed, that were not of this earth. Now, there's people of this earth that have the blessings of this earth, and the earth yields to them. The earth produces for them. And they're blessed in this earth because they make up an overwhelming percentage of the people on earth as opposed to the sons of Adam. We're the fewest people, and that's the way Yahweh chose it. And the Bible is not to all the people of the earth. The commandments to refrain from doing things is not to all the people of the earth. It is for a specific people, to, for, and about one specific people, which is noted in Matthew chapter 13, that Yahweh would bring his seed in, light seed, and Satan would bring his seed in, the dark seed, the fallen angels, the fallen ones, and offspring of the fallen ones, to miscegenate, mix, or to actually provide a Sinai doctrine for the sons of light. And remember, the children of light are a lot less intelligent in these fields and these matters than are the children of darkness. For the children of darkness are much wiser than the children of light in these specific matters that I'm talking about, because we believe things that we read, and we'll swear. I've seen preachers swear that the King James Bible is just like God declares it to be. Glory to God. And then when you really get after them and pinpoint them and pin them down, they'll go crawfishing immediately out of certain scriptures that they have to. If it's like the everything in it's written that come out of the mouth of God, then we got some major problems, because there's 22,000 known typographical errors in the Bible. That's not the result of holy men that were moved on. These holy men have had translators into their text, and they have badly mistranslated. They have badly assaulted it, trying to, whether it was purposeful, I can't say. It's probably, I suspect that maybe some of it was, especially by the scribes, because Christ specifically warned us, and a lot of teaching in the Bible is written and conducted and quoted by the scribes, and people quoted for the living word of God like it came out of God's mouth, and God himself said, I wouldn't trust those lying scoundrels. So you're going to have to rightly divide it, like I said. Now, let's look about in Exodus. Well, let's go to, in the Bible, the word Erech rarely means the planet Earth. It rarely means that. For instance, during the plagues upon Egypt, we read that the rain was poured out upon the earth. And the word there is Erech again. Everyone understands the Erech here to mean only a local land where the plagues was affecting the land of Egypt. Lice did not literally crawl over all the earth when the plague of lice actually came. Frogs didn't appear on the land, thick as grasshoppers, all over the earth. They only appeared in the land of Egypt. And yet this word is the same word that people used back there that said it covered the whole Erech, or the whole earth. And that word is simply mistranslated. And the value of that is lost, because the reason why is people didn't want you to understand that there is a specific bloodline, family of God in the earth that are chosen and predestinated before the foundation of the world with a list of their names, and only Almighty God knows them. And those who have not miscegenated, mixed blood, and adulterated or fornicated their blood are given a check mark of approval. And the Bible said, keep yourself pure, and that's exactly what it means. Now, if you believe that all of the earth and earthlings that are upon the earth, and the diverse kinds that are upon the earth, including the beasts of the field, and man, and the stranger, and the house of Israel, is all from one bloodline, you need a quick, fast teaching of genetics. Because it just cannot be possible. Something has happened to make us believe a lie and be damned. Now, what about the whole earth here? Well, then, let's Let's go to Exodus chapter 10, verses 5 to 15. You got the plague of locusts there now. They shall cover the face of the earth, it said. What was it talking about? The whole earth literally crawling and swarming with a plague of locusts all over the earth? Or was it just in the land of Egypt? We have other people. We know that the Bible will give you clues that there were other nations surrounding Egypt at that time. There is no recorded history that they had these 10 plagues that came upon this region of the land called Iraq. It wasn't over the whole earth, as the Bible said, the face of the earth. They covered the face of the whole earth, it says, through all the land of Iraq. The same word applies. The same word. Again, it should be evident that the locust plague covered only the limited land of Egypt, exactly where the Bible says it applied. But if you apply the wrong words here or get the wrong meaning, you're thinking that the plagues went all over the earth and you had these terrible, terrible conditions to the African tribes in Africa, the Chinese tribes in China, the Japanese in Japan. Their history goes back. No recorded history of any of these plagues that is written in the Bible to, for, and about, and because of the people of God. The people of God, he only delivered the children of Israel from this land and called them his people. You of all the people, you are of all the people, you of all the people upon all of the earth. In that case, that word all encompasses the whole earth, of all of the tribes, of all the kinds of people upon earth. Only one bloodline people was specifically to form about, a people that he chose out of the earth to be his people because they were his people from the bloodline that I told you about in the 25th chapter of the book of Genesis, with the covenant promises of Genesis chapter 12 and chapter 15, where all of the specific promises for a people that will be scattered throughout the whole earth and become lost and be called the lost children of Yahweh, or the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jacob is a prince of Yah, and he was a descendant of Yahweh, as was David, Abraham, Isaac, and all of the others who were progenitored through the very blood, because the blood of God, the blood, the literal blood of Almighty Yahweh, produced these sons in the very beginning. And it was his blood that replaced, to replenish something that had been here that previously existed on an earth that was perfectly formed and created and was good and became dark and void through the fall of the Luciferic influence of the planet that was here before Genesis chapter 1. And no wonder Satan the old pro knew how to again deceive those who from heaven came a little lower. Satan had the advantage, and he started his affairs to the second earth age. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we are in for the cleansing of the final second earth age to begin the new third earth age, where all things will be made new, renewed, because we're going to have a fire upon the earth, not to burn everything upon the earth, only those, it'll sever out only those who cannot stand in the vibrational blood, because blood is a vibration, life is in the blood. And everything that doesn't have the blood of God will be obliterated and destroyed as the instance of the upshift when this vibrational sequence comes to online to reconnect the perfect bloodline DNA of the sons of God, the sons of Yah. All of this will transform in a twinkling of an eye, and instantly the internal combustion of everything that does not have the key code of eternal existence will be diminished and destroyed. It will be a meltdown of all who are not his, all those who have disobeyed. It will be an instantaneous internal combustion of those who will melt with fervent heat, as Peter alluded to in the gospel that we're fixing to go to. Now let's go over there and take a look as I said, to chapter 3 of the Second Peter. We're going to look into the evidence to support whether the flood covered the whole earth or whether it just covered a region, as we have indicated that the word change and the exchange of the words, that there's been words that have been put in to actually betray or to deceive those who are reading without study. The Bible said, it didn't say to read to become educated. It said, study to show yourself approved. That means that you go into the word, the original, the substructure of the changing, the translations, the taking away of the values, and look into what it originally said. Became was not was, as it's noted in the English version, and the earth was void. That means it was created that way. It became void after it was created perfect, and the sons of Yah shouted for joy at the creation, and there was no darkness then. Darkness became when Satan began to hatch up from the very bottom pits of his own perverted imagination. All evil, all darkness, all bad things come from these fallen ones that we've been talking about. And you better get your study cap on. You better put on the whole armor. You better arm yourself with knowledge. For my children, Hosea 4:6 says, my people, which are called by my name. That's a family name. And only the people that know that family name will use it to enter in. The key is the name to have access into the kingdom, because you certainly can't go outside the name. Only those that are in the name, and then there are some that will get the revelation of the name, and they will be rejected because they were briars, just like Simon in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. He was baptized in the name of Yahweh, but he was a devil, just like Judas. You see, the children of darkness are wiser than the children of light. See, it's not everything that says Yahweh is going to enter in. And so you have to be very selective. Only Yahweh. It takes a discerning of spirit. You'll know them by the fruits, by the way. They're interested in filthy lucre, and they're always trying to get men's admiration and to stand out and to build big buildings and have great names and these big sacred name assemblies that have grown up here lately and sprung up all over the United States. And these are the false prophets that want to take you down the Jewish road to destruction. Because most of them are adhering and teaching the doctrine, the false doctrine, that the Jews are God's chosen people and that the sacred name people must become Jewish to enter the kingdom. That's a lie. That's right out of the pits of hell. And it's not the author of the scriptures that gave us that doctrine. It's Satan and his angels who are converted into the sacred name. You got to watch those in the name. I've never had any problem people outside the name. I don't worry about them. I know where they're at. It's the people in the name will deceive you. Judas laid very close. He was a snake, but he was in the name. We know he was baptized, because the Bible says that Yahweh baptized his disciples, and at that time, Judas was a disciple, but his fruits bore him out. It's not a matter of just getting wet in the name. It's a matter of getting right in the name. He didn't say in spirit and out of the truth. He said in spirit and in the truth. And that's the way the fathers want. So you got to believe. Now, by just these word changes, we could give you example after example after example. The word he read in this passage was translated earth again. Thus saith Yahweh in Jeremiah 47, verses 1 and 2. Thus saith Yahweh, behold, the waters rise up out of the north and shall be an overflowing flood and shall overflow the land. He read again. And all that is therein, the city and them that dwell therein. Then the men shall cry, and all the inhabitants of the land, Erech, shall howl. Well, that wasn't another worldwide flood. You see, we've had floods periodically. You know, some people, we just had flooding down in the southeast here that came up all the way into Pennsylvania and on up farther east of us into New York, I believe, and on up through the country. This tropical depression it became a hurricane in the sea, came up on the land, brought a surgical tide wave, if you will, strike, that wiped out. And why, for the life of me, that people build these enormous structures right on the ocean when the Bible says if you'd read the Bible, you wouldn't do that. You would flee out of the oceanic areas where the Bible says in the last days the earth will be shaken in the vibrational thing, and that there will be earthquakes and famines, tidal waves, 30 feet surge, knocked out buildings, just literally just destroyed brick buildings and things of this nature. Just from flooding, people died. There was more people who died in the flooding than there was in the result of the high wind. And so then we're having it. These are floods and these are famines and these are, but it's not over all the earth. It is isolated areas. And Adam and his offspring, Noah, lived in the Tarim Basin in the land of Mesopotamia. This is the land where that they were at, and they lived there kind after kind. And when they begin to miscegenate and mix, and even mixing with the angelic beings who came down to encourage the adulteration of the blood and the infusion of the serpent race and other bloods after kind, they didn't actually cull anything. They were wanting everything to be one big worldwide humanist happy family. Well, what's it going to be in the last days? Same thing. Oh, I'd like to get into where I told you I was going to wind up. And Matthew chapter 13, it just begs for me to jump over there, and I'm tempted to go there now, but for the sake of finishing up what I've got here for you, in Genesis, again, back to 7, there's many instances in the Bible where it speaks of the earth, or the face of the earth, in which it certainly refers to a limited land, area of country, just like I just alluded to you here in Jeremiah 47, 1 and 2. So then, the language of the Bible, it can be misconstrued, misinterpreted, or misunderstood by those who are simple-minded, who are too lazy to do their homework. Just read on a surface level and believe, well, I believe just like the King James Bible says, glory to God. Well, I asked him, I said, what's the name of the Father? Well, God. Well, I said in Isaiah 12 and 2 and 26, 4, it says the name of the Father is Jehovah. But if you go back to the original Bible that was copied from, it don't say Jehovah. You see, that's just too many worms are crawling in their brain. And so they don't want to go there because it stresses them. They have too much, they get overload. But now they'll sit all day and tell filthy jokes, tell wild tales, or figure out how to go to a moon in a rocket ship and use all those complex formulas, and they'll burn their brain out to do those things, to do evil. But to do good, to study, to show yourself approved workman that needeth not to be ashamed, they read instead of study. And they destroy themselves because they get into a seem right way, and there is one, by those who fail to recognize the word value of the Bible regarding the creationist theory of the Bible. They read in a literal context. And they take it at face value. They don't really give it just like the Father spoke to in parables. If you took it at face value, you'd miss the whole point of what he's saying spiritual. As some say, this is done out of misguided reference for the Bible. The fact is, the Word of God is infallible, and it does not mean that every line and every word is to be read literally or taken at face value or surface value, as I've alluded to. In fact, it's clear from the Bible itself that this manner of interpretation was never intended in all causes, and the sayings and parables of Christ would be sufficient, if they were, evidence that all divine words are not to be literally construed, because he gave them these words in parables, such as the sower that I'm trying to get over there to, and the fowls in the field, and the thorns, and the fruit, and the seed, and things of this nature, leaven, woman, treasure, furnace, earth, and fig trees, and water, and things that never would intended to be taken literally. But when men do, they misunderstand. Well, my heavens, my time has come, and my time is gone. How fast time flies. When you're studying, when you're enjoying yourself in the in-depth, if you've ever got tired and bored of reading the Bible, why don't you do yourself a favor and quit reading and start studying? There's a big difference. You might enjoy it. You actually might learn something from it. And if I have taught you anything tonight, it is that you need to go into a word study and to show yourself approved. I hope and trust that my message tonight has blessed you in some small way, that it encouraged you to keep on keeping on to seek out the mystery that's hidden within the Word and the Word frame of the Mighty One who wrote it and hid it from the face of those who only want to go to the surface. If you're trying to please man and become a large group, then you just join the big denominations. If you want to come out of my people and be the fewest, come over and join Pastor Buddy and others like myself, like-minded, who are trying to study the Bible and to have fellowship with those that will. Well, let me give you my mailing address if you'd like to write me tonight, and I hope you do, and I trust that I've blessed you in this message. If you'd like more on this information, we'll be back next Sunday night at the same time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, on WWCR. We're on every Sunday night on WWCR around the world, out of Nashville, Tennessee. It's a mighty voice. It's the one and only. It is the short wave for the future wave of the people to believe and hear the truth. Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call, Post Office Box 2284. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip 37824. Now, if you'd like to call me tonight, call me at area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. Now, if you would like to email me tonight and you're listening, you have computer access, internet access, you can contact me by just emailing buddy1@centurytale.net. After you're recording this message, you can play it back. That's buddy1@centurytale.net. Now, next Sunday night, Yahweh willing, and the Spirit will be with us again. We will go into phase three of the flood. This is part two from our early edition, and this is a part five, actually, of the Fallen Angel series. We'll be doing six in the series. And if you'd like to have those dates on that series, well, you just write and ask for the series dates on the Fallen Angels. In this series, we're covering Genesis 3 over to Revelations 22. And we hope you've enjoyed this message. And until our next meeting time, which will be next Sunday night, if you have access to internet, you can catch me on microbroadcasters.com. Every night, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, you can hear me live, doing 1 hour live on microbroadcasters.com. Look it up, hook in, and bookmark us, and join us through the weeknights. We'd be glad to have you. And we get into some in-depth searching of the scriptures and things of this nature. Well, we think you would find it very. We have all these series on tape and video. If you'd like to have the series, why, just write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. And again, earmark us a contribution to our broadcast. We'd be much invited, and I'm thinking that the Father would bless you mightily. It would do your heart good. You would feel good about helping an old poor Southern preacher boy preach the gospel to the lost and the dying. We're going against the grain of tradition, not compromising the truth for anybody's sake, even my own, which I have suffered in poverty and destitute and things of this nature, but I'm rich in faith toward the Mighty One, and I hope that you are too, and that you have gained some information tonight as a result of our broadcast. We bless you. We send out blessings to all the saints around the network of the Shepherd's Call. May the Father richly bless you, keep you safe. Try to attend the feast in Andrews, North Carolina. We'll see you there. Yahweh bless you next Sunday night at 8 Eastern, 7 Central. Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call saying good night.
I'm Thank you.